Yes, Yahshua is worthy of praise. You're listening to Cross the Border. Let's pick back up here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, and verse 43. He comes back after praying a second time before the Heavenly Father, much distress that he has to go and lay down his life and suffer the things that he's going to suffer. And he goes to the Father a second time, and he says, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." He would only do the things that please the Father. You know, there's that mystery. He was Yahuwah, and he was Yahuwah's salvation. That's what his name means. Yahshua means our Creator's salvation. He was God in the flesh. He said it many times. Disciples said, "Show us the Father, and that'll suffice us." And he says, "Have I been so long with you and you don't know me?" And the mystery, you know, how can he be the Heavenly Father and how can he be his own son? He prepared a body for himself, and he dwelt in that body. Can we articulate that mystery in such a way that even the simplest of minds can understand it? Well, no. The skeptics, the wicked will never understand. But the righteous and the wise will understand, and even the simple can understand because they know in their spirit, because his spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things are true. But trying to articulate them to the skeptics and those who want to practice wickedness, that's their real problem, is they desire to continue in their wickedness. And that's why they say, "You can't prove it to me." And they're right, because even if we could, they still wouldn't see it, because their eyes are blinded. The eye of their mind is darkened. They will never see it until the day that they repent and nurture that desire to practice righteousness and be obedient to the King of Kings and live in his kingdom and embrace his law and his commandments voluntarily. So the disciple, he comes again, he finds the disciples asleep, for their eyes were heavy. In verse 44, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Now, if you notice, when they went up there, they left the building. They went up to the disciples, and the Messiah went up. Of course, Judah departed, and he went his way to let them know this was the opportunity that he sought to betray him. When the scribes, the Pharisees, and the guard could catch him away privately and away from the multitudes and out of the public eye in secret. And he says, "The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And when he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." So I'm going to show you which one it is. It's kind of dark, you know. They don't have flashlights. They have swords and staves, you know. That means that they have swords and they have, you know, what do you call it, torches. But of course, that's still not adequate. So he's going to go and he's going to give him a kiss, walk into the group there of the 12 that are left, minus him is, yeah, you get it, the 11 disciples and the Messiah. "Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus, to Yahshua, and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Yahshua said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Now, you know, he didn't, when I read something like this, in this old English, might have sounded okay in the 1600s, but no, I'm sure that Yahshua didn't say that. He said something like, where are you coming from? Were you not supposed to be here all the time? Why have you been gone half the night? You know, that's kind of the question. Where are you coming from? He's calling him out, really, is what he's doing. He knew. He said he was here. I've been betrayed. And they appeared at that time while he was speaking the words. So he calls him out. Where are you coming from, Judas? Friend? Then came they and laid their hands on Yahshua, Jesus, and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Yeah, that was a warning shot, right? Peter really wasn't aiming for the middle of his head. Well, I think he was, and I think the high priest's servant there, or guard, kind of ducked or moved as fast as he could to get out of the way, because remember, there's not much light here at this time. And he just barely escaped from getting his head cleaved down the center and got his ear cut off. So he smote his ear off. And then said Yahshua unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray unto my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? What he said, he told them to get a sword, didn't he? And they had swords, you see that. He says, put your sword into its place. You use the sword, there's a time to kill, and there's a time to refrain from killing, and this was a time to refrain. Verse 54, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? So he explains why this is not a time. How shall the scriptures then be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out? So the multitudes, of course, is this throng of priests, elders, and guard that are coming out. Because they, you know, it's kind of like they do today. You know, if they want to go after one man, they don't go up and knock on the door anymore. They go out with hundreds of officers, armed to the teeth, to take down one man who is unarmed. Kind of like they did to, you know, the Branch Davidians or Tony Alamo, you know, or any time they attack anyone, and because they want to make a big show of it. They want to convince, you know, the people in the news today. But anyway, they knew, of course they knew that his disciples were armed. Yes, they did know that, didn't they? They were carrying swords, because he told them to sell their cloaks and buy a sword. He said, pretty much saying it was more important to be armed to defend yourself than to stay warm. And if, for any of you that think this is a gun control verse, because the gun control people like to use this part of the scripture to back up their case, I challenge you. Available now on the FirstAmendmentRadio.com website is the 13th annual Old Paz Christian History Conference on DVD and on MP3 CD. And in that is 2 hours from John Weaver on the biblical doctrine of self-defense. Excellent teaching. This conference was, less than 2 weeks ago. So this is an event that just happened. Something very current. And you can find that there on just put up on the website on the shopping page at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. The biblical doctrine of self-defense. You should get that. And you can order that for a donation of $15 in the MP3 format and get the entire conference on that MP3. So that's a very good deal if you go to the shopping page there. Go down to for my listeners who are hearing this on my program, if you're a subscriber, you can get it already. by clicking on the subscribers link because they get a discount on all the FirstAmendmentRadio.com productions. So it's $15 for them anyway. If you're not a subscriber, just go down in the shopping page to the day special section and press on the $15 button there and ask for that, and we'll send you that for $15. As a matter of fact, a little secret is that we'll send you just about anything for $15, you know, that comes on one disc if you ask for it. As a matter of fact, we'll send out things free to people who write to us by postal mail and request them. You know, so all it costs you is a postage stamp and a few minutes, and we'll send you anything for free if you ask for it that way. If it's enough trouble for you to ask us, then we will give it to you. But just emailing us for it, we won't do it, because then we'll get swamped and we won't be able to afford to carry on our ministry. So we ask people if they want stuff for free that they, you know, just write us a note and say, we definitely can't afford it, but we really feel that we need this ministry, a resource. So could you send it to us? And, if you're honestly poor and you need that ministry resource, then you'll go through that kind of trouble to get it. So there's a little aside for you. But for anyone that wants to scroll down on the shopping page to the day special section, we'll send you out that entire conference on MP3 CD so you can hear it all, which includes 2 hours of the doctrine of the biblical doctrine of self-defense presented by John Weaver, famous preacher, freedom fighter, free church pastor. And plus there's a lot of good other good things on that DVD, MP3 DVD, and you can see what else is on it there at the website. Also some good demonstration on handgun, long gun control, and VIP protection. So something you might want to consider getting, and it would help support this network and this program. And no, you can ask me when I'm done in about 15 minutes. Now get. So anyway, that on the biblical doctrine of self-defense, I think that's a must-have for anyone that is concerned about the Second Amendment right to bear arms issue. It's a God-given right. And there's another one of those lamb-like qualities that second beast that rose up in the wilderness made as part of its government, as one of the horns, you know, of its government, a lamb-like quality, the right to self-defense. So the doctrine of biblical self-defense, excellent presentation. So the same hour, Yeshua said to the multitude, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. But all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." You know, he's saying this for their ears. These men are studied in the Word of God. Some of them know it well. Some of them don't want to know it well because they have an evil eye. There's a few of these scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites that are hearing what's going on, that things are clicking in their mind. The Holy Spirit is drawing out that word that he's referring to there. Some of them will accept the Messiah, but most of them will not. And that's just the condition of mankind. That's well demonstrated throughout history, throughout Bible history, that most men will choose to die for their own sins rather than accept the Messiah, rather than repent and walk in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. And then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They were offended. He told them they would be. They fled. They were scared. You know, that spirit of fear entered into them. That's rather, probably very much involuntary on their part. Absolutely. Especially by the words of Peter. So, I'll never be offended. And then all of the disciples joined. Not me either. We'll never, you know, leave you. We'll never be offended. We'll stick to you through the end. Though they kill me, I will die with you. And they all fled. They forsook him. And they that laid hold on Yeshua led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Yahshua to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against you?" Well, this is a pretty weak witness, but they have to have two, you know, by the witness of two or more. So they need two witnesses that agree. And so far they found none, but they found these two. Of course, these guys are put up to it. And they're twisting the words that Yahshua says. So how do you answer that? How do you answer it? Is he going to start arguing with these guys now about the words he said or didn't say? And Yahshua held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Well, that was the whole idea, wasn't it? That he was the Christ, the Son of God? And this is pretty much a trick question. You know, because if he says no, then he's a liar, and he can't say no, I'm not, because he's not a liar. He's not going to bear false witness against himself, not even for himself. So if he says no, then he can't say no, because he is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. And he affirms it. Yahshua said unto him, "Thou hast said," that's an affirmation, in case you don't know. In the Old English, that's an affirmation. That's the same as saying, "Yes, I am. Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." He said, "I am. I'm the Son of God. I am the Messiah. You shall see the Son of Man," referring to himself. And then the high priest tore his clothes. He rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy." "What think ye?" they answered and said, "Is he guilty of death?" Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Messiah." It says Christ, of course, in the Greek there. But we know that they were calling him now a Messiah. "Who is he that smote thee?" Now Peter sat in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "You, thou also was with Yahshua of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what y'all sayest. What are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're saying." And when he was gone out into the porch, another saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow also was with Yahshua, Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath. So he swore. He says something like, "I swear to God," or some kind of oath. "I swear in my mother's grave," you know, something that someone would say as a habit. So he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Well, they knew he wasn't from around those parts. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Yahshua, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. It's almost like it was all involuntary. He ran, he forsook the master, and he was the first one to say he wouldn't do it. He wept bitterly. And these were true tears of sorrow and repentance. Unlike that, the man who betrayed him, who never repented for his betrayal. And we'll talk about that a little more when we come to it. Well, we're going to finish up the Gospel of Matthew next time on Cross the Border. And so I'm going to end it here. This is the last verse of chapter 26, a good place to depart. And I want you all to remember that there is nothing more important in this life than that we cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and obtain eternal life. And then when we get there, there's nothing more important than that we endure to the end, because the scripture says that he who endures to the end shall be saved. And if you truly want to be saved, you don't want to count on that once saved, always saved doctrine that's swimming around, where they tell you that once saved, always saved, pie in the sky when you die, you get to go to heaven when you die. No, the words of our Messiah, the words of our Master, were the truth. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. We should not be preaching another gospel. No pie in the sky when you die. No, you get to go to heaven. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Not, you get to go to heaven when you die. That is another gospel. Cross the border into his kingdom and live forever. I'm Nicholas Arthur. And as always, hallelujah.